With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to a presidential hell.
Yeah.
But good.
It's a presidential hell of sorts. Or as I'm going to call it, the Kevin Kline fan club.
Yes. We love Kevin Kline.
Yeah. I actually had to Google him to make sure that he's not like a sex pervert.
I
haven't
sure
found that. Anything yet, so I'm not.
No. Kevin Kline's a wonderful man.
I'm hesitant about my.
I'm going to go out on a limb and vouch for him. He's a wonderful man. Damn okay. It. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Now I'm nervous. Okay, so if this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Where did Kevin Kline touch you, everybody? Where?
No.
No, he didn't touch you because he's a nice guy. Welcome back.
Oh, my God. Thank God we're off next week.
Yes,
okay.
I'm getting punchy.
We thank you so much for being here with us to relive these tales in painful and excruciating detail. Thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Yes, we are on Patreon. Thank you for not asking. We do bonus episodes over there.
The bonus stuff is good.
The bonus we fucking put effort into it.
The bonus stuff is good. There's effort. We're not just sitting around with our thumbs up our butts.
No. I spent hours, and actually I am like, I'm making it like I bought different color printing paper. I bought a bunch of laminating sheets. Like, I'm making this an actual make-your-own rom-com game.
Wow. So this is going to be great.
We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We play some Plotsy, which is, you know, a fun game. Make Your Own Rom-Com, which is the funnest game.
That's a great game.
And we talk about a bunch of other reality television shows as well. So if you want to dish, if you want to, you know, gossip...
Where can they do that?
Go over to patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigled.
That's right.
And that's where you get all your bonus shit. Last week, we watched the first Wives Club.
Which sounds like it's political, but it's not.
That's why we did it.
But it wasn't.
And then, because last week, you know, it was the election in the United States on November 3rd. So we decided to do something, kind of keep with the theme, since this is the longest election season ever. This week we watched Dave.
Yes. Just, you know what? We all just need Kevin Kline at the moment,
I
feel like.
I think it's just that we all need Dave.
We need Dave. Even Sigourney Weaver is a warming presence.
Weaves.
I never thought when we started this that there would be so much Sigourney Weaver involved.
There's so much Sigourney Weaver.
Every other movie is Sigourney Weaver.
And that's why it was so funny that, like...
It's more than Heigl. We should be giving away the weaves at the end there.
The weevil meter.
The weevil meter.
No, it would be the weaver meter.
The weaver meter. Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. The weaver meter. It should be.
Well, maybe like a Heigl is like... Like a centimeter, and then a weaver is like a millimeter.
But weaver's better than Heigl.
No, but like I'm just saying that maybe we modify. Yeah, but we don't hate the weaver as much as we hate Heigl.
That's what I mean. I don't hate the weaver at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like maybe she could be. Okay. Maybe we give it like one Heigl and two weavers.
We'll work on it.
We'll figure out the rating system.
If she keeps popping up like this, though, we're going to have to really rethink the whole thing.
Or send her a Christmas card. I don't know.
One of the two. I'm not sure.
Maybe both. I don't know.
Maybe both. But this says Kevin Kline, which in our uncertain times is what we all need.
We all need a little bit of Kevin Kline. And so anyway, reminder, we are doing 3 weeks on and 1 week off.
Yes.
This is our third week. We're off next week, and it's also Thanksgiving, which I'm gonna burst
your next week.
I don't know. It's around next week.
I thought it was, I don't know.
And let's just tell you something, okay, everyone. I just want to remind you, you can make mashed potatoes whenever you want.
Yeah, you don't need a holiday for those.
Yeah, you can
make just good.
Yeah, you can eat mashed potatoes whenever you want.
They're like 10 pounds for a dollar. You can just buy a huge amount of them.
And once I realized that, the sky was the limit.
Yes.
I can eat mashed potatoes whenever I want. So you don't have to. What I'm saying is that if you're like kind of like, I don't know, I'm kind of feeling on the fence, remind yourself, I can eat mashed potatoes whenever I want.
Make them right now.
The world is your oyster.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's what you can do. Yeah. That's the thing. Or make it again.
You can take an edible, make yourself mashed potatoes, and convince yourself that you've already experienced Thanksgiving.
Just imagine it's Thanksgiving, which really has no feel anyway. So
but today is not Thanksgiving.
No.
Today is where we are giving thanks to Dave.
This is Klein's giving.
This is Klein's giving. This is Dave's giving.
Thanks, Kleining. This is good.
I don't know why, but thanks Kleining doesn't sound pleasant.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like he's going to hurt
you. It sounds like it's going to hurt.
It's sexual and it hurts.
Oh, I was not thinking it was sexual. I was thinking it was probably more of the acupuncture like realm, but it's cool that you went straight there. Just like you go with all like stabbing for all of your Plotsy games.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm going for grasping for edges here.
So this is Dave. It was made in 1993. It's an hour and 50 minutes. And let me tell you, that extra like 14 minutes, barely noticed it.
Yeah, when it's a good movie, you don't notice it.
Barely
so much.
Noticed it. So James and I have this, it's 96 minutes. That's the ultimate rom-com length.
It's perfect.
And actually we had, was it Jackson? Sent us a movie that he was in.
Yes.
And he was like, I know that your time limit is like 96
but we will make
minutes.
An exception for that,
yeah,
I think.
So yeah. We're definitely going to watch that movie.
Yes, that was really cool. Thank
one
you
of
for
our,
that.
One of our broads out there is actually in a rom-com, and excuse me.
Also and, not a broad, I don't think, as well. Well,
No, anybody can be a broad.
Oh, anybody's a broad. That's right. We're all broads. That's I forgot about that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a broad. You're a broad, James. Like, I thought you were...
He's a young guy. I don't want to put labels on him before he wants
Jackson
to have his own labels.
I think
Jackson
is proud of being abroad.
Good. Okay. Good for you, Jackson. Anyway. That's right. You know what? Because you're so secure in your masculinity, you don't care. You
can or broadulinity.
Or broadulinity. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. So anyway, Jackson is in a rom-com. Jackson wants us to eviscerate this movie, which I probably won't because I loved your little small-town murder diorama
that
thing.
That was amazing.
I loved it so much.
That
I
was
want
wonderful.
It's going to be on my nightstand. It's just so cute. And I can't wait to watch this movie. So anyway, that movie is going to be great. This movie, phenomenal. Hour 50, starring Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver. The IMDb description. To avoid a potentially explosive scandal when the U.S. president goes into a coma, an affable temp agency owner with an uncanny resemblance is put in his place.
Yes.
Yes.
And we must say this, okay? Sometimes we do good movies. This is our rule, though. Sometimes, like let's say Overboard is the perfect example. We did Overboard, not the new shit Overboard, the real Overboard. Overboard, as
Mom and Dad.
As we referenced during the show, is one of the more ridiculous stories we've ever heard in our life. It's just felony after felony, and that's the good guy. It's like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
If it has a crazy, crazy fucking premise, but it's a good movie.
It's okay. That's what I mean. We'll go with the crazy writing because the filmmakers tried to make a terrible movie, but the actors are so good they saved it. And there's no way to... That's the thing. You could put Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell in anything and it's going to be entertaining.
There's bad movies made good.
Yes.
And like Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
Where that movie is so bad, it's fucking wonderful. And then there's good movies that just have like...
This movie's an asinine premise.
Yes.
The premise is that's why we're doing it. It's the most asinine premise, but Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver, the actors, Kevin Dunn is good. They're all good and they save it. So
Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames is fantastic. He's really kind of steals the show.
Kevin Dunn, Frank Langella. It was a really good. Okay.
Great cast.
Anyway, the taglines, there's two of them.
Oh boy.
In a country where anybody can become president, anybody just did.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a good one, I guess.
Yeah. The second one is Dave Kovic was an ordinary guy who was asked to impersonate the president. When they gave him a chance to make the country better, he did.
That's a pretty long fucking...
I don't know that he did.
I don't think we need to have his last name in there, do we? Do we need
Kovic,
to know his last...
Kovic,
I think you could just say Dave. Because the name of the movie, isn't Dave Kovic.
No, it's
we just
Dave.
Know it's Dave. So it's almost more confusing when you throw the Kovic.
The fun fact is that I am joining the Kevin Kline fan club. I am not starting one because I assume that there already is one. So I will just be joining and working my way up the ranks. I hope it's not a pyramid scheme, but if it is,
ass nailing.
If it is, I'm willing to pay the membership. Who's in my downline?
Who's in my downline?
For Kevin Klein.
Yes. Okay. We love Kevin Klein. And Kevin Klein is the most underrated actor of the 90s.
He is like a beautiful combination, a beautiful love child of Bill Murray and Steve Martin.
And he's got a certain thing. There's just something about Kevin Klein. He can play anything, too. He can play, I don't know what it is. He's just so good. He's good at everything.
His character in Bob's Burgers is so weird, but so funny.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, so heartless.
He's just funny.
Yeah.
I mean, all through the late 80s and 90s, yeah. A Fish Called Wanda, I Love You to Death, all these movies, they're all in and out. They're great.
Yeah.
He's maybe, hilarious.
So should we just talk about how wonderful Kevin Klein is, or do we want to talk about the movie?
We'll jump in and out of the movie with Kevin Klein praise. When the spot in the movie warrants it, we'll have a Kevin Klein love fest.
So basically every other line.
And then however much movie we skipped by the love fest, we'll just cut that part out and be like, and then this and this happened. Okay, here we are.
Yeah.
Catch everybody back up. I think that's the easiest way to do it.
I agree.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
It's better for everyone.
Okay.
You'll enjoy it this way.
So it begins with somebody's going to tweet me and be like, Kevin Klein's an asshole. And then send me like six links and I'm going to be heartbroken forever.
No. I won't accept that, so no.
We can just refuse things.
I won't. I won't accept anybody saying any bad word about Kevin Klein. I won't hear of it.
Oh, but what if it's like totally heinous, though?
It's not going to be, because he's Kevin Klein. It's not going to be. You found out he was married to Phoebe Cates, too, who's also nice. There's no way.
He's been married since 1989.
No. Yeah, he's a nice man. He's a Hollywood star who stayed with the same first wife.
I think Phoebe Cates quit acting to, like, take care of their children.
I think so. I think they seem like nice people, is what I'm getting at here. And if I would be shocked. That would be more shocking. I guess people would say that pre-Cosby, but I would be way more shocked about Kevin Klein than Cosby.
Cosby was too nice. Okay, but do you think that they would hang out with us, Kevin Klein and Phoebe Cates?
No, absolutely not.
Why? Do you think they have better things to hang out with us?
Yeah.
Do you think they would play the Make Your Own Rom-Com game?
I do not. No.
Why?
I don't.
That would be so fun.
I think they'd be like, you guys need
to. I would love to hear what the story was that Kevin Klein came up with, like his fake movie. Can you imagine Kevin Klein's Dictator Dolly movie?
It would be amazing, but I feel like
Oscar.
He'd rather go to like an island or something.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of an island,
want to hang out in our basement and play a game that we made up? Here's some squares of paper that we cut out and laminated. Here, you're going to pick these out of this out of this Tupperware. He's going to love that.
It's best if you hug the wall, or the dog will bite you.
Yeah, watch out for the dog.
Okay. Anyway, so B-roll of Washington D.C.
Ceilings are kind of low, so
you can tell that it's no. The lighting is great down here. No. Yes, the wine cellar. The basement to the basement.
Well, you know,
that's where we're going to be.
We call
out.
It the wine cellar, but it's
there's no wine down
there. It's just a cellar, really, honestly, that we record in, but we call it that.
Just my Danny DeVito cardboard cutout.
It makes us sound fancy.
No, there really is a Danny DeVito cardboard cutout.
Anybody out there with a basement, just call it the wine cellar, and you'll feel so much more fancy about it. That's what's great about it. Anybody,
we can sell wine down.
Any Midwestern basement, be like, it's down in the wine cellar.
Stop. There, we have the Washington Monument, Capitol Hill. There's rowing on the Potomac. And then we finally land on the White House. Anytime that there's rowing, I always go, rowing! And I get very excited. And James laughs at me because he's like, you've definitely spent half of your life seeing rowing.
Yeah, and you're always like, I hate rowing. And then you're like, rowing, when you see it.
Yeah.
So like, okay. It's funny. It's a real...
Marine One is landing on the lawn. There's two adorable little puppies, little corgis.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, they're little corgis.
Okay.
And we see President Kevin Klein and the First Lady, Sigourney Weaves, walking off of Marine One, and they go grab their dogs. And I was like, excuse me, I would be on the floor, and I'd be like, who's my good babies?
Yeah,
like,
they just hand Kevin Klein the leash
and
as
the dog's
he's coming
just
off.
Like, yeah, and the dogs are like, sweet, cool, here we go. But like,
he doesn't even pet one of them, not even like, hey, good dog. And they don't seem that excited to see him either, so it's like, I don't feel like there's a good relationship there.
No, the dogs are like, fuck this guy.
The dogs are like, whatever, I guess we're handed over here.
And I would be on the ground, like, begging Frankie to pay attention to me, and she would just be on her back barking at everybody,
barking,
and then on
the
her
reporters.
Back crying because she wants you to pet her. She's so pathetic. Okay, so
she'd be peeing all over the
President
place.
Klein just abandons the dogs. His name is Bill.
Bill Mitchell.
So President Bill Mitchell he just abandons the dogs in the White House, walks off his separate way. Sigourney Weaver goes and walks off her separate way, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then they they're talking about, they're heading over to the Oval Office and they're talking about that there's a dinner this evening where the president is addressing a banquet hall full of people.
Yeah, some group
and
of
that
whoever.
They need a body double for him to get in the limo. So they're talking about that. Laura Linney seems to be one of the new secretaries, yes. I guess.
Well, it's a 90s movie, so that's the law. Laura Linney has to be in it, and yeah, she is.
With her blonde wig. So Kevin Kline, President Bill Mitchell, kind of seems like a real Mitchell. He doesn't seem like a really lovely man.
Well, yeah, he's your, you know, I'm a politician. You know, mm-hmm. he's that guy. I'm a, you know, they have a very, there's a very cynical, like, 90s, like, tone of Washington.
Yeah.
There's a lot of political movies in the 90s that aren't political. It's very fucking weird. Like, Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a bunch of movies like this in the 90s where it's political, but, like, they don't ever mention parties.
No.
Or there's just, like, there's a party and another party, but they try to keep it out of that.
Yeah, because at the end, they're doing talking heads with all the senators, and the senators, even if they were Democrat or Republican, they were just like, I don't know, kind of seems nutty.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like, yeah.
In this movie, he's a Republican, Bill Mitchell, because I only know that they never mention it, but when they do when they're talking to all the different, news people, like, you know, reporters and shit, they should go to the show with Robert Novak. And that show, I remember it, was he's on the right and the other guy's on the left. And Robert Novak, the other guy, was like, well, your guy, Bill Mitchell, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I know my guy. So that means that Robert Novak, he's a conservative because Robert Novak was on his side.
Okay, but maybe, James, have you considered?
No, that's how it was.
But he's just a big fan of Kevin Kline.
He could be.
And that's his boy.
I mean, most people are. I'll say that, but what I'm getting at is, though, that's how, and then when they would show the certain senators, certain congressmen would agree with him and not, he's a Republican in the thing, but that's not, it's not like now where back then it was pretty, there's a pretty thin line between Republican and Democrat in 1993.
But he does not seem like he seems like a real dick in this movie.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to
he's
portray
a politician.
Him. They're trying to portray him like that, like the dogs don't even give a shit about him. He doesn't give a shit about the dogs.
Or his wife.
His wife is going off on the other side of the West Wing. Like they're trying to paint him out to be like, this guy's a real asshole.
They're painting him to be exactly what people like in their cynical minds would think it would be. He doesn't talk to his wife and you know, this guy's a dick, and that's what people think of politicians. Yep. So that's what they're painting it, kind of typical.
Yeah, so he's having a meeting with his chief of staff and his communications director, Kevin Dunn and
Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Frank Langello played Richard Nixon and Frost Nixon.
He did a great job.
And he did a great job.
Tremendous. Yeah.
And
it was
I think
a great
he
should
have just been Richard Nixon. And then they'd be like, but wait, hold on.
That would have been amazing.
Why would Richard Nixon be his communications director?
His chief of staff.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Bill.
This is our movie. We can do whatever we want. I want Frank Langello as Richard Nixon to be this guy's chief of staff.
It's super weird that Nixon just like works in the White House now. Isn't that weird? Like everybody. Super strange.
He's just like,
don't ask me questions about Watergate. And he just like goes and stands behind the president. They're like,
and then he goes in any room that he's in, he always says some weird thing. And then he says like, so when he's in the kitchen, he's like, I'm not a cook.
He's just taping everybody.
Like, what are you doing in here? He's just pranking everyone. That's what I want. I want a show about Nixon pranking people. Okay.
Nixon impersonators pranking people.
Yes, that's what I want. Okay. Here's Kevin Kline again.
You'd call a tricky dick, it'd be a good one.
Oh my god, let's get Nixon this is a show. We're not talking about this movie anymore. This is a show. We're getting Nixon impersonators.
It's now a show.
To pull pranks like of the like
we're now having a development meeting / Kevin Kline fan club gathering. Instead of I'll go with the flow. You got the laptop in front of you, so I'll go with the flow.
We're doing a Nixon impersonator show, and they're going to just do like really topical Nixon jokes.
It's a pretty good one. It's a good show.
And then pranking people, and then we're calling it Tricky Dick. And then, that's beautiful.
Only people that are like 75 years old will know what the fuck they're talking about ever.
Yeah.
That would be really funny.
Yeah.
Keep Google handy because you're going to need to look up a bunch of shit, kids. That's all.
But that's good because then that will teach people about history.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But this...
Anyway, because we can't all just get a Kevin Dunn crash course in government.
That's the thing. Okay. Kevin Dunn trains him in being a president in about... If you could train
like
that
Rocky
easy to
montage.
Be president, then really anybody could have been president in 5 minutes and done just a better job than most people don't have.
They spent, I don't know how long, but at least like a couple of seconds of the montage, which I don't know how much time that represents on the larger scale. So like, I don't know what fraction of it because, you know, like they
I'm
say
never getting ahead of ourselves.
If you get 200 comments on Facebook, you know, for your thing, that's probably 10% of your audience. So I want to know what that representative is, that 2 seconds of him memorizing the branches of government.
Yeah.
And then should we be making everybody do that?
And every cabinet member and where they sit, which seems difficult.
When you're getting like you have your orientation, you're like, okay, this is okay. Anyway.
Bill Mitchell is a dick,
but here's Kevin Kline again. And they're like, oh, here comes the president of the United States. And you're like, what? Is this the event?
What's happening here?
In the middle of the day, is this the event that this guy is going to, that he needs a body double for?
It's at a goddamn Chevrolet dealership.
Yeah. Kevin Kline is riding in on a giant pig.
Oh, yeah.
A giant pig. And he's just like got an American flag tie on and he's a tweed jacket. And
Just khakis. Coming on out.
Messy hair. Just like... Hi, how are you? This Chevy dealership is excellent.
Looks like an English professor with an American flag tie on.
Yeah.
Riding a pig.
And one of the kids in the audience says, Mom, is that the president? And the mom laughs and says, I hope not. And I was like, yeah, it seems like he looks just like him, but it seems very irresponsible to just like...
Yeah.
Impersonate him and like hire him to do that. Like, I get it. Like, maybe do a cameo, but.
That was also for some, that was a big thing in the 80s and 90s. Presidential.
Oh, yeah.
There was Bill Clinton impersonators in the 90s that were on everything. Like, that was the. And then Reagan, too, at a million. It was really weird. I don't know why that's gone out of
fashion.
So now.
Sort of. No, it's coming back.
Well, now it's like celebrities want to do it.
Now we're getting our Nixon impersonators.
That's
together.
True. Yeah, we're going to get a whole group of them. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun one.
This is going to be really good. I hope you guys, by the end of this episode, I'm going to have you brainwashed. you guys are going to be like, wow, Tricky Dick does sound like a great show. Okay. So the Secret Service seems to be there, and they are very inspired by Kevin Kline's performance. One of them is Ving Rhames, and he is Marcellus Wallace in
Pulp Fiction. He's everything. He's been in so many
things. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's just great.
He's easily, besides Kevin Kline, I'm going to join a Kevin Kline fan club and a Ving Rhames fan club by the end of this podcast episode.
Yeah, Ving Rhames is one of those guys who is great in a serious part, really great. I mean, he's an intense actor. He's amazing. And then if you put him in a comedy, he is fucking home run funny because he is exactly the same amount of serious as he is in the most intense drama.
His delivery
so he's great.
Yeah.
A lot of actors that play it straight like that are hilarious and he's really good. That's a lot of times serious actors, your best serious actors are going to be really funny. Just, it's a weird thing.
Should he host Tricky Dick?
I mean, he could. It would be really funny to just be like, here's another sketch and just have him be very deep voice. One more sketch for you here. Bang. Yeah, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. This is a good show. Okay.
Yeah, I'm into it.
So now we're having a meeting of the minds. Kevin Kline, President Bill Mitchell, seems to be very upset about that he wants to gut some program. Like, he wants to gut something. I didn't really pay attention to it because I was taking notes. But he wants to gut something. And then... They're like, and he goes, well, I can't do it. You guys have to do it.
Yeah, he's basically, he's some one of his cabinet members. He's telling him he's got to slash some kind of budgetary thing because President Bill Mitchell will look like a dick if he does it, is his point. Like, I'll look like a dick. I need you to eat the shit for me.
Yeah.
And you be the dick. And that way I still look like a good guy.
Yeah.
So that's he's shitting on people by cutting something and then also throwing his own people under the bus. So they're just showing you. It's like the anti-save the cat moment.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
This is
of that.
Like, we're just showing you what a turd this guy is. And then also you're setting him up because now we've met Dave.
Yes.
Now so we know now we know two... that Dave is goofy and he's whatever. So you know that they're going to replace him with him.
Yeah.
Dave, you, Bill with Dave.
They're fucking identical.
And so you need to, like, at this point, you're only looking at the sharp contrast, which is why they're setting that up. Like, Bill Mitchell is a fucking poop on a stick. And then Dave is like, hey, how's it going? I come in on a pig. I hang out with people. I like getting people jobs.
Dave's
fun
uncle.
I ride my bike. Yeah.
Dave's a guy who's like a fun uncle. It's like, come on, kids, let's take you to the zoo.
And the annoying part of Dave is that Dave is a fucking, he runs a temp agency.
Yes.
No fucking way I would be in any sort of a good mood if I had to deal with people on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dave really has a little, quite the spirit. He will say quite the spirit of personality. He's really,
he is truly a saint.
Ain't
again,
nothing gonna hold him down, nothing no. gonna break his stride.
I, yeah, oh, oh no, no.
He's got to keep on moving.
We've
that's the problem.
Keep on moving,
yes,
though.
We do.
So Kevin Klein goes to go. Oh, nope, sorry, it's Dave,
yes, Dave, not Bill Mitchell.
Yeah,
yes.
It's Dave now, Dave Kovic.
Yes,
he runs a temp agency, fantastic attitude. He's friends with Charles Grodin, who is an accountant, and Dave needs to get some woman a job at Charles Grodin's accounting firm.
Yes.
And he's like, come on, dude, you gotta give me this. Like,
she's got three kids and her husband has diabetes. Help.
Yeah, you have to help. And then Charles Grodin's like, I can't, like, you know, whatever. And so, I mean, Dave, yeah, a little emotional manipulation on your friends,
yeah, yeah.
But like...
And in Charles Grodin, he has like this small accounting office and there's like 17 secretaries in there. Like,
yeah,
there's just a shitload of people. Clearly, they're
and
all people.
And it smells
from
like
Dave.
Burnt popcorn in that office.
Oh, I'm sure everyone's making popcorn in the microwave, just willy-nilly without even considering anyone else's
feelings.
And
nobody pays attention to when the thing beeps.
Nope.
Okay, so anyway, the Secret Service is in Dave's apartment. That doesn't seem to be legal. They're just like, he gets home and he's just like walking around and like blah, blah, blah. And they're
singing
just sitting
and
there.
Shit. Yeah.
And then he turns around and he's like, oh my God. And like, is scared. And they're like, hi, Dave, you know, we are the Secret Service. And, you know, we're just casually sitting on your couch.
Couldn't have knocked.
I'd be like, how'd
called.
You get here? Like, why wouldn't they wait outside? Why are they in the house? They
I don't
can't
know.
Just be in your house.
They make it seem very covert. They wanted to, I think it's, they wanted.
It was trying to be like the Secret Service is everywhere.
Yeah, it's
and like,
so, yeah, they could be in your living room. And he's not even like, get the fuck out of my house. He's like, well, what can I do? Like, it's very, you know.
He started telling on himself about his taxes.
Oh, he was like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, like, I didn't
I
mean, I thought.
Him
a,
sometimes
thought it was a legitimate expense and
yeah
and they're yeah so they tell him we're not here for your taxes, we're instead here for you
and your looks
and your looks, you handsome devil, you
get over here
mister.
So, they say that they're gonna hire him to be a lookalike for the president, and he has like a really normal person reaction, which I was very excited about, because normally people be like, what? Huh?
Yeah,
who?
Yeah.
And he was like, really cool. Like,
yeah.
He was like,
well, that's what he does normally.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's
like,
that's awesome.
I get to do it for the president instead of a Chevy dealership. That sounds great.
So like,
I don't have to ride on a pig, do
also,
I?
Also, it's a little bit of validation that even the Secret Service of the, you know, to the United States president is like, yeah, you look a lot like him.
Like damn.
You know, you're like, yeah, I know. That's
they're aware
great,
of
right?
me.
Yeah. I've been noticed. Now we're at the 53rd annual Patterson dinner. We're in the banquet hall, and you know that the food is absolutely terrible here.
Oh, it's a bunch of steam table horse shit. Yeah,
ugh.
It's not going to be good.
Remember when we
awful.
Got that steak and that mahi-mahi at that one wedding that we
yeah,
went to, and
it
we had to cut
good.
It with a butter knife?
Yeah.
And that was really sad.
Yeah, we were very sad about that. And it was just, it had sat because it was just, it's in a big wedding, it's just difficult with service.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to get good food at a giant function like that. It's just not possible.
No.
It just doesn't work well. So
even if you're, that's why weddings are silly, because
yeah, it
you're
has
paying,
to be held at
you're
some
paying
point.
For all of this food to be made.
Yeah.
And it's expensive, and it's just going to be like,
no
you might as well
it.
Have told somebody to go heat up a lean cuisine.
Well, the only thing they're going to enjoy are the desserts, because desserts are meant to be held and sit there. But
and they're going to be drunk as fuck anyway, so it doesn't really
pieces
matter.
Of chicken aren't meant to be held for a long time. They tend to come out weird and shitty
so anyway,
and gross.
Just consider that.
That's a good consideration.
So anyway, Bill Mitchell, President Bill Mitchell, is speaking to the masses here using a teleprompter. I love that the teleprompter technology has not changed in many moons. No. I love that.
Same thing. Clear square words on it.
Nice, even pace. And I also, during this scene right here, I thought it was really, this is one thing that I think about way too much, and I don't think I should think about it anymore, but I keep thinking about it. It's got to be so weird. Like, so let's just say you're a two-term president. Mm-hmm. It's got to be so weird when you're not president anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to everybody always like playing hail to the chief whenever you walk into the
retired,
room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so like everybody's plays hail to the chief when you enter a room, when you exit a room. They
everywhere
all stand up
go.
And clap everywhere that you yeah. speak.
You have
and
a
all
theme
that
song.
Stuff. Yeah. You have a theme song. You have entrance music.
Yeah. It's always the same.
Yeah. And then like everybody's like, oh, Mr. President, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day, Madam President, but that's fine. And then,
they always, you're
but
always
yeah.
that.
But they're like, then the next day you're just like, I'm going into the woods and I don't have to talk to a bunch of people every day.
Yeah, you don't have to hear that fucking song.
Don't play that song. Don't. Yeah, like, yeah. I would be so annoyed. I'd be like, can we like maybe some Billy Joel?
He's like, sure. And he plays that. Like, come on, man.
And then he plays Billy Joel's version of Hail to the Chief
on
piano.
It's got a lot of piano in it. You're like, what the never heard this with piano in it, really. Strange.
Sing us a song. You're the president.
You're
God damn
the
it.
President. I guess it's better than fucking Hail to the Chief.
You get
so.
To eat and drink for free. God damn it.
Damn shit.
All right. Sorry. The heat is on. Dave, he's stretching up, and he's got to be the best body double ever. He's stretching, and I just think, so I want a buddy comedy of Kevin Kline and Ving Rhames.
Which it kind of sort of turns into for
but
a few
I wanted,
scenes. And I
want it.
It
was great. It was a good little like teaser, and then I was like, okay, then I want this. I want a whole movie about that now.
They were a good comedic team,
yeah.
Those two.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. President Bill Mitchell seems to be very impressed with the lookalike. He's like, good job, just don't smile.
You look like a schmuck.
You look like a schmuck when you smile.
Mm-hmm.
And then that scene kind of reminded me, I know, James, you didn't watch the Haunting of Bly Manor, but when the two Kevin Kleins are talking to each other, which is kind of a dream of mine. I just want to hang out with a bunch of Kevin Kleins now.
A shitload of them. Like a multiplicity, but with Kevin Kline.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's perfect.
And also Michael Keaton.
Well, so
we'll do multiplicity with Kevin Costner, Michael Keaton.
Well, who do we
and
like
Kevin
better?
Kline.
Michael Keaton or Kevin Kline? That's a tough one.
I don't want to think about that right
now. I don't
now.
Either. That's tough.
Okay.
I don't want to have to choose.
But that reminded me in the Haunting of Bly Manor when Elliot from E.T. meets his like weird, creepy double that smiles at him. And I know you didn't see the show, so you're just staring at me. Like,
no idea what you're talking about. Sounds incredible, though. And then when does E.T. show up?
Oh, you wouldn't know. You've never seen E.T.
Wow. I haven't seen E.T., everybody. I've never seen E.T. That's a fact.
I always really love to...
Never happened. I won't watch it.
I always love to... I don't know why, but it's so funny to act like, well, James will never get to watch E.T. and he doesn't even deserve to watch it.
I refuse to watch E.T. I have no interest in it.
That's why it's funny.
It's a personal matter.
He's
I won't
holding
get into
a
it.
Grudge from when he was a kid.
I am. I'm holding a grudge. That's right.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
It's true.
Just watch it.
No, I'm done. Nope. I didn't need to watch it when I was 4, and I don't need to watch it now. So, done. No E.T. I'm not watching it. That little fucker can do things on his own time. I have
he
no
can go phone somebody else's home. I'm not answering.
Go fuck yourself, you little. He looks like a booger. I'm not watching him. Fuck you, E.T. He's going to molest Drew Barrymore. Get him away from her. Yeah, that's why the mother didn't want E.T. around. He was like pervert with his finger sticking out. Get him away from my kids.
Oh, is that why you wanted to watch it?
No, now I know better. Now I know what E.T. was up to, but back then I didn't.
I can't believe that you're... Okay, you know what? Fine. You're just going to talk like that. You're just going to accuse E.T.
of sticking his finger in people's butts. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. That wasn't glowing on the end of his finger, I'll tell you that much. That was poop.
Okay,
involuntary.
Wow.
Involuntary.
This is probably the weirdest episode we've ever
done. It was involuntary.
Okay.
That's the problem.
TP phone.
Oh, God.
Okay. He's very impressed with the lookalike. And Dave is so funny because he's so President Bill Mitchell is a scumbag. He's like, oh, call me when I'm call me when it's done or like
he
whatever.
He says, let me know if there's a war. And he saunters out of the room.
And he saunters out of the room because he's going to be gross with Laura Linney.
He's going to go give it to Laura Linney in the hotel room.
He is, Dave is walking and he's like, I love, this is how nice of a guy Dave is. He's like leaned back like a little bit to talk to Ving Rhames like, hey, like, you know, like I'm not, you're not walking behind me. Like we're walking together.
Yeah.
And then he's like jogging to go down the stairs like other, like, you know, a president should just like walk casually down the stairs and he's like jogging.
Yeah. He's
down
like
the stairs,
trying to like, look like he's,
you know,
like,
everybody jogs
hey,
down the stairs.
I got
like,
energy. Yeah. You're like, hey, calm down. You didn't just deliver a pizza. You're the president here.
Yeah.
Have, show some dignity. Show a little dignity. But he like he was like running down, like down. Yeah, downstairs is dangerous because you don't want to trip and fall downstairs.
Especially with certain dress shoes.
That's what I'm saying.
Slippery.
That's what I'm saying. If you're walking outdoors where there's moisture and stairs, you probably want the president to.
We're just only saying this because we love Kevin Klein.
We don't want him to hurt himself. Yeah. We don't want, if I'm Ving Rhames, I'm like, hey, one step at a time, chief.
Yeah. Let's not jog.
Let's not jog. Okay.
Let's.
Plus, if you jog, then I got to jog. And frankly, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
So.
Let's just do a nice casual stroll.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave seems very excited to have people clap for him.
Oh, yeah. He's a showman. He's an actor.
He's being rewarded for his performance. So he's very excited. And now we're in the limo with Dave and Marcellus Wallace. The president is Bill Mitchell is having an affair with Laura Linney. Did think it was weird that they were having sex on the floor and
next to a fancy bed.
They brought the sheet down to cover them on the floor, but not to prevent rug burn.
I think this was meant to represent such a passion that it couldn't, the confines of the bed couldn't hold it, and it just spilled over onto the floor without any pre-planning, and sheets that happened to come with them came with them. That's how exciting this is for them, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was wild. It's a stroke-inducing good time. That's how it is. You know it was good if you had a stroke.
Yeah.
Massive stroke. Yeah. You're like, fuck, that was fall off the bed kind of good fucking.
Yeah, so President Bill Mitchell goes into a stroke-induced coma. And he just kind of like passes out on top of Laura Linney, which
hardcore.
That's got to be a weird phone call.
Yeah.
Because then what do? You get him dressed?
There's another movie that kind of starts like that too. I can't think of it now, a 90s movie. Of the same type.
So Dave's in the limo, Dave's changing, and then Marcellus Wallace gets a phone call, and then he's like, okay, we got to go back to the White House. They go back to the White House and they bring Dave with them. And Kevin Dunn and Frank Langella, I don't know if I put Langello and then Langella interchangeably. Again, I apologize. I messed up Heather Graham and Heather Locklear last week. I mess up almost every like blonde lady. I don't
know. They're blonde ladies named Heather. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I don't know what's wrong with me with some names. Like, I'm just like, I confidently am like Heather Graham because that's the first one that pops in my head. And then the others are like, it's Heather Locklear. And I'm like, oh, yep.
It's because it was just right enough. Her name is Heather. So you're like Heather and no, that checks out. And then the rest of it.
Listen, I'm a Sarah. Okay. I get it. I look like a Sarah. You can call me like a Rachel or like a whatever. I'm a little white girl. I'm happy with you making fun of me for that. So I don't, if you guys want to mix me up with somebody else, that's cool. I don't expect you to.
That's right. So fuck you, Heathers. You're going to be offended by it.
Fucking Heathers.
Yeah.
I'm a Sarah, bitch.
Take that or something.
Or something.
Or something.
Heathers,
strong feelings.
You have to really work for it to be part of the Kevin Klein fan club.
I would say. He's leery of you. Let's just say that.
As he should be. So Kevin Dunn and Frank Langella are planning on what to tell the press and the country. They're going to say that he just had a mild stroke and he will be up and around soon. You know, all that PR bullshit.
Well, Kevin Dunn first is like, well, we got to contact the vice president. And Nixon there is like, we ain't doing shit like that.
No, because he doesn't. Like Frank Langella, Bob Alexander does not seem to like the vice president.
No.
And he seems to be a more evil person than
by far.
The president.
Yeah, there's
so
always
president
a
Bill
bigger
Mitchell,
asshole behind the asshole.
It seems like this Frank Langella character keeps, like, he signs stuff and the president doesn't know about it.
Yeah, he is that, and they the plot is sort of laid out right from the beginning, because right away he's like, we're not calling the vice president, we're gonna keep him in, and basically we're gonna fuck the vice president and get him out, and in 2 weeks this guy'll have another fucking stroke and he'll have nominated me vice president and I'll be goddamn president. Like, it was laid out right in the beginning.
That's what his plan was.
Nixon wants to be president. That's the plan. Which,
oh my God,
that's true.
That's very true.
So it works out.
So anyway, they meet with Dave and they're telling Dave that they are going to extend the deal. And it's so weird because they broke into his house. Okay. Yeah. They had the Secret Service break into his house and tell him that he's going to be a body double, which he's like, great. And he's very receptive to it. Very go with the flow. Not like, you know, okay. And then when he's in the limo, he's not like, okay, I run a temp agency. Am I going to be back tomorrow?
Like, yeah, I have the only set of keys. So someone, I got to let someone know to open up.
And then, but yeah, so he's, and then he's also like, he's giving a resume for like, I can do other things. Like, I have an idea for like a sketch with the first lady.
Yeah, they go to Club Med or some shit, whatever the idea was. But there's no asking. They never ask him, like, are you available? Would you like to do this? They're just like, here's what you're going to do.
Yeah, so they're just like this. But then when they need to ask him for this, they're like, they seem like they're really putting a pill in some cheese. And it's just like, yeah, but he seems pretty receptive. So like, maybe just throw it at him.
Yeah, but they
like bounce it off of him. Like,
they have to kind of ease him into it by, because he's what the morality of it is what he has the problem with.
Yes,
he's like, wait a second.
That's fine. I understand. Is this legal?
Is this legal? Like, what are we doing here? And Kevin Dunn puts it to him that it's his patriotic duty to do this. The whole country, it's just like running a red light in the middle of the night with no cars around.
Yeah.
You wait and it doesn't change, so you just go through it anyway. Imagine the whole country's in the car and they need to get to the hospital.
Yeah.
You're driving the car, get the country to the hospital. That's what they tell him. Yes. He's like, okay.
And he's like, okay. And so they're explaining to him that he's going to be the president. And then he goes, well, what about the vice president? And they say that the vice president is certifiably crazy and mentally unbalanced.
Which he's not.
He's not. Frank Langella just really does not like him.
No.
At all.
Well, he wants to be president, so it doesn't matter.
So, yeah, he's just in the way. But like Kevin Klein. Then this is my real problem with the movie. So they're having him stand in.
Yes.
Right? And they kind of give him like a survival, like how to survive in meetings. But you would think that he would be like, so obviously I don't make any decisions. I don't like.
Yeah. What if someone asks me something?
Yeah.
Like that they need a definitive answer on.
I work at a temp agency.
Yeah. Like if he's in a meeting of the full cabinet, which he is all the time in this movie. If he's in that meeting and one of them asks him something with their pen poised waiting for the answer so they can put something into action. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I can't go. I got to check on that for later.
Yeah. Wait, let me talk to Bob.
Yeah. You can do that once or twice, but not every damn question.
No,
so
no.
How
it's
do you
like,
do that?
It's like when you're a bartender and like when you're first starting out and you don't know how to make something. So you say, how do you make it?
How do you like it?
How do you like it?
Yeah.
And then that way they're like, like normal. Or they tell you, you know, like, oh, great. Then you get a bigger tip for that.
Most people
being
cannot
the president,
wait.
You cannot do that.
No, exactly. You're not making a drink. Most people cannot wait to tell you exactly specifically how they would like you to make the drink. They just think it's insulting to tell you, a bartender. So normally they won't tell you, but if you say how you like, they are thrilled to tell you exactly the fucking proportions that they want and everything. And this many
very
cherries.
Enthusiastic about their booze.
Yeah, no one is pissed off about that unless they're a real asshole.
No.
Yeah. So,
but like for that, I just feel like he would be, because I'd be like, okay, first of all, how long am I doing this? How long do you anticipate that I'll be doing this? And then also like, you know, is this going to be like a, hey, we just need you. The president's probably going to die. We just need you to kind of like, you know, be around for 2 weeks while we get our shit together.
Come out on the balcony, wave, go back inside. Like, no, they're having him do a full schedule. Like, they don't even cut it down.
Through the first pitch.
They send him to a fucking ball game.
They meet with.
The problem with that is I think that would be the most telling of anything, that it wouldn't be the same person because nothing is more telling than the way a person throws.
Yeah.
So like if Bill Mitchell, I assume he's thrown a first pitch out before, you could compare that. I don't care how identical they are. No one could pick that up, but someone could go, what the fuck? He doesn't throw like he used to anymore.
So That's another thing. Nobody says anything. Like, they're just like, wow, he seems to have a lot more energy. So, but anyway, exactly. They show him to the quarters and like to his room, and he's just like stunned about it. He's, you know, loving that he's, you know, gets to look at a painting of George Washington, which, by the way, that's all I would do. I would just walk around the entire White
Looking
House. Like,
shit.
I would never.
Yeah.
I'd be like, that's fine. I'll go out in the balcony like, you know, 2-3 times a week. And then I'll just take a tour of the White House and I'll just have a cool slumber party.
That sounds fun. And
then
you can get any food you want anytime you want.
Fuck yeah. You just answer the phone. But then that's the problem is that they tried to warn him a lot about a lot of things in this movie, but they don't warn him about like, hey, any phone that you pick up, it's like they answer immediately.
Yes,
and then
Mr.
you
President.
Have room service panic.
Yeah, it's
where
yes,
you're
Mr.
like,
President.
I want French fries. I want a salad, ranch dressing on the side. No, on the salad. No,
you gotta know
on,
exactly what you
yeah.
want before
and then
you pick
you're
the
like,
phone up.
Where you're like practicing it.
Yeah.
Hi, can I have this? And you're like, yes, that's it. No, I want a club soda.
Shit.
God damn it.
I forgot.
But when, I should have told them.
When they first bring him in the living quarters, first thing they say is, that's your room down there. That's the first lady's on the other end of the hallway.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what? And they're like, yeah, they don't ever hardly talk. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So like,
but yeah, they don't ever, right? they don't, you know, preface him on anything. They're just like, okay, cool. Like, we'll tell you names in meetings, which is why I thought that he wasn't going to be so visible. And then it turns out he's the most visible.
Oh, they full schedule. Go out and before, do press appearances. It's the weirdest shit that they wouldn't be like, let's really keep him under wraps until we figure this out.
It turns out that they paid nurses $50,000 apiece, and then they paid... So they said that they paid two nurses off $50,000 apiece and a doctor off for $100,000. And I took severe umbrage with this because I was like, either all of them get $50,000 or all of them get $100,000.
No, that's not how that works. They didn't say gender of the nurses.
No, I know. I'm just
could have been two male nurses and a female doctor.
I wasn't saying it about gender.
Yeah.
I was saying it about that nurses do.
That's not the same job.
No,
yeah.
But they're doing the same job here.
They're probably doing more work than nurses, but.
No, I know, but they're doing the same job in covering it up here.
True.
So all of them should
get
the same amount of money.
But the doctor
they're all
also,
supposed to be in on it.
The doctor also wants head of the CDC, that he said as well.
Oh, okay.
So the doctor is
You should get the $50,000 and the CDC title.
I feel like you shouldn't get anything if you're going to be head of the fucking, if you're going to like muscle a
That's
title
what I mean.
Out of this. You shouldn't get dick,
you
not
get
a penny.
No money then. And then the nurses get your $100,000.
I agree.
I'm just saying they're all doing the same job cover-up wise so they all get the same amount of money,
but you have to pay people off in accordance to what
and now
what
I'm really
take
pissed
to
off
because
I think I missed the CDC thing.
Yeah, he said it at the end. Kevin Dunn, he's like, the
and
old
then,
man wants to be the head of the CDC real quick. He said it, so there it is.
Okay. Everyone seems to be very confused at how nice Dave is, or President Bill Mitchell is. They're like, wow, he's like
He's all nice now.
Waving to people and like smiling. And it's like, well, yeah, you can tell by somebody's presence.
Yeah.
You can tell that that's not the same person when you're like.
But if someone's identical,
you?
What are you going to do? You're not going to question
it. But you
it.
Still get vibes from them.
I agree. Yeah. If you're in person with them.
If somebody's an asshole, you're like, oh, you're an asshole. Like you just know it with them walking in the room. You're like, no, I don't like you.
The thing that got me was like everybody else fine, but when Sigourney Weaver walks up to him and they're a fucking 6 inches from each other, I'm like, she'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
your wife would know who you are looking in your. I don't care how identical they would know you'd be from your identical twin. They'd be able to tell.
Yeah,
your eye is just a little bit different. You got some.
Yeah,
they've looked at you before. They know what you
they've
look like.
They've definitely seen you before.
Yeah.
That's
the one thing where I was like, she should have been immediate. Like, they should have never let her get that close.
No.
That fast. I could see, like, if she saw him a few times from a distance and then got sort of close and then, of course, whatever. But this was just like, she walks right in, walks right up to him, and she's just like, I'm mad at you, Bill. It's like,
and also, like, with his reactions to her, because he does seem to be very confused at her kind of being rude to him, you think that she would look at him and be like, okay, like, why are you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. But this seems like just a continuous thing. Like, they're always in a fight, it seems like. She doesn't like him, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's banging Laura Linney, so.
And he runs this temp agency, Dave, but he has to call and let them know that he's found a girl and that they're in love.
He won't be returning
And he won't be returning for a month. And it's like, okay, this is a really weird.
Yeah.
Why? Just say, like, hey, something came up, and I have to. I had to be gone for, I'll explain later. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that girl, which by the way, I thought it was so funny. She's having a conversation with somebody on the phone. She's like, yeah, tonight's going to be the big night. I don't know. He keeps acting weird, which that's the...
I feel like maybe they just wanted to give that actress another scene because she, like that character.
I know, but
she
actually got engaged because normally that doesn't, normally the next scene in any comedy movie would be her crying and like, oh God, you know.
Yeah, that's fuck. That's really true too.
Especially since she's a redhead.
She's
like a redhead secretary at a temp agency and she's like, tonight's the night. And then, you know, you'd think that she'd be like, he dumped me.
It's that character does seem set up for personal disaster, but
instead,
she's not.
She's like engaged and then
she's got it all together. She's running the office.
He's in love and she's like, I'm really happy for him.
She goes, thank God. When she hangs up the phone, like, oh God, he's been such a...
He's in love.
And he needs something.
He seems to be in a pretty good mood. He works as a temp agency person. And
he owns it.
But he doesn't seem like he's not heartbroken. He's not like, you know, oh God, he's
riding his bike around
30 years. He's singing.
He bursts into his home from his bicycle ride singing songs and like dancing and shit. I think he's pretty happy. He seems happy.
You guys don't fucking go home and sing.
I've never walked into my house with that much gusto in my entire life. So he's happier. Whatever is going on in his life, it's better than whatever I've ever had in my entire life.
Well,
he's happier.
That's not fair,
than
though.
I've
Do
ever
you know
been.
Why?
Why?
He has something that you don't.
What's that?
He's Kevin Klein.
That's
just being Kevin Klein would cause you to come home and sing. Wow. So no matter how happy you are, James,
I'm
you're never going to
be
Kevin
Klein.
Klein.
So I guess I'm out.
So anyway, they're giving Dave a crash course in government, which we could all use that right now. Memorizing names
basic
and faces.
Too.
Yeah, they're going, here are the branches of government.
They have a big white thing and it says you at the top and then it's arrows to the, you know, to the different branches of government, to the House and to all this shit. And I'm like, wow.
Cardboard cutouts of senators and cabinet members and whatever in chairs and they have their names and he's being blindfolded and he's like, you know, pointing like this guy's this guy, that guy's that guy. Whatever. He is like a prodigy impersonator.
Oh, he's
amazed by him.
Yeah.
Because he's able to memorize the branches of government. He's able to memorize these people's names. And then like
he's got all of his mannerisms down too. When they're looking at him, they say he does this and Dave corrects him. Dave's like, actually, he does this, hands on the podium.
And
they're
like
oh, shit,
reciting
that's right.
the speeches.
Yeah.
And they're like
this is gonna
son
work.
Of a bitch. This is our plan is going to work. This our super work. Illegal plan is going to work.
Yes.
Anyway, so he's upset because he
our super illegal coup is working. Yay.
Yay.
This is great.
I do love this line. He says, the first lady, couldn't I start with like a cousin or something?
That was great. He's like, the first lady? He's scared shitless. Yeah. As
well,
you would be.
You would be because you would think that your wife would be like, holy shit.
If anyone on earth is going to call this ruse out, it's going to be the Weaves.
Yeah.
Period.
And judging by her attitude with him, she wants you to, wants to rip you to shreds.
That's what I mean.
So she comes in and she's got her power haircut. And she's like, why couldn't you die from a stroke like everybody else? What are you staring at? Who was she, Bill? And I'm like, yes.
Some patriotic secretary.
Yeah. They really, and I just thought here they could have really done him a solid and been like, by the way, she hates your guts. Like, like if you think that, like, okay, whatever, like, they don't talk to each other, like, she hates your guts.
Yeah, it's an active hatred. Yeah. It's not a simmering
it's
thing.
It's not just like, okay, they're kind of like a little bit
chill.
You
haven't decided to agree to disagree. This is
she hates you.
She's going to yell at you whenever she sees you, so buckle up for that. And they're thrilled about it.
The sight of your face is just offensive. You think that they would tell him that so that he could at least be like, okay. But instead, they're just like, yeah, they don't really talk. And he's like, okay, so like, it'll probably be like, whatever. And then she's just like, go to hell, Bill. And it's like,
And he's like, she hates me. And they're like, yes, she does. They're like thrilled. They're like, it worked. We
it
even
worked,
fooled
yeah.
her. If she hates him, that means that's Bill.
Yep.
Because she hates Bill.
He does. Dave does from the balcony.
Mussolini
high,
wave.
I was thinking like a little Evita.
No, anything from a balcony is Mussolini. He ruined it.
Excuse me, but
he ruined
Evita.
It for everyone. Yeah, Evita was doing a Mussolini and then that's what happened.
She was doing a Don't Cry For Me Argentina.
In Mussolini.
Don't
in Mussolini.
Cry For Me Argentini.
That's the key she did it in, Mussolini, from the balcony. Anything from the balcony, he ruined. No, don't be powerful and speak from a balcony.
He
did destroyed.
His balcony. Hi, hello. Yes, I am so very healthy. Look at me. I had a stroke a couple days ago. I'm doing well. This is my wife.
There she is.
I'm not Dave.
I'm really him. She proves it. See?
This isn't Dave.
Nope, not Dave.
Okay.
Who's Dave?
Dave is playing with babies. He's doing a photo shoot with babies. He's playing with babies, and everybody's like, wow, this president is like, Bill is like really nice.
Yeah, Bill's not normally a baby player.
No. And then he's in a meeting, and he plays with all these like machine arms, and he's like dancing and singing. And you'd think that the people would be like, hey, like, you know, Kevin Dunn would be like, cool it on the likability. Just like keep a low profile because we're trying to not draw attention to the fact that you're not President Bill Mitchell.
Instead, he's making what would be viral videos at the time of him using giant mechanical arms in a factory to do dances and shit.
Yeah, where you'd see every news thing, including your aunt's blog, being like, President Bill Mitchell uses these machine arms and he's singing a dang song and it's hilarious.
Yeah, he has all the factory workers singing Louie Louie with him and everything. He's just a man of the people.
Yeah. And then he's rolling around in the lawn playing with the dogs. Oh. Dogs are just all over him. I was like, that's a fucking good time, man.
I
would be all on
business.
The ground with those corgis.
Oh, yeah. Pet him up.
Yeah. And then now I want Frankie and Benny to be White House dogs.
Yeah, but you couldn't roll on the ground because they crush you when you do that. They jump up and get excited, and you're like, oh, God, you're too heavy. Don't do that. Don't land on my rib cage. Oh, God, Jesus, you weigh 130 pounds, please.
I love them.
Don't land on me.
They can break my rib cage. It's fine. I love them.
I'm not willing to sacrifice my ribs.
Okay, so everybody notices how happy and much different this new president is, and they're not like, this is weird. They're just like, this is great. Like,
yeah,
everybody's
no
just
minds.
So happy that he just appeared to, he had a stroke and it reset him.
Yeah, they're like, everyone's loving him right now. Yeah. That's, oh boy, look at this.
So, anyway, they give him the most exposure. He's not nervous to make any speeches. He's not nervous to, like, do anything. He's not nervous to throw a baseball.
Oh, he's psyched.
He's just like, whatever. And then he starts to ask, like, his administration. And, like, the secret security people.
Yeah.
Why did I say secret security people?
Secret security.
Secret service.
Secret security, like it's Best Buy or something. The Costco secret security
people.
I'm
the secret security person of the Kevin Klein fan club. Anyway, so he's like, "Why? You know, what's going on? Like, how come the president and first lady don't talk?" And he's like, I don't know. I can't tell you. Like, you know.
Kevin,
who gives a shit?
Kevin Klein made him a sandwich,
tried to loosen
him up.
Dave makes him a sandwich, and he shares a sandwich with Ving Rhames, which I thought was great because he's like, sit down, eat this delicious sandwich with me. It looked very pretty. It did look James worthy.
It was a nice looking sandwich. There was mayo on it, so.
Oh, did he put mayonnaise on it?
He did. On the top bun, there was mayo smeared with a mustard squiggle over it. And I can't do the mayo. So other than that, I was interested in this.
The bread looked good.
The bread looked excellent. I liked the lettuce hanging off the sides. It looked like a cartoon sandwich, which I'm very much happy about.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. It was a good sandwich.
Kevin Klein can do anything. That's the thing.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Yeah.
2 points off for the mayonnaise.
I would say. No. Well, the mayonnaise makes it a negative 12 because it's garbage at that point. It's biohazard. You can't smear dog shit on something and go, besides the dog shit, that was a great sandwich.
I don't know.
It's ruined.
I would.
It's
destroyed. But we like mayonnaise in tuna fish and we like it.
Such a minimal amount. It's not
salad.
Even funny. And
I know, but
I don't eat much potato salad because it's too much mayonnaise for me. You know that.
I know, but I don't put that much mayonnaise in it.
And I still have like 2 bites. I don't eat much of it, if you've noticed. Yeah, I don't. I don't like it. I don't like mayonnaise. I can't. I just don't do it, man. Mm. It's just gross to me.
Anyway, now, apparently, the next day, we have a whole day with the First Lady. Langella does not seem to be excited about this day. Sounds like he doesn't want Dave and the First Lady to have a good relationship. He doesn't want Bill and his... He doesn't want Bill and the First Lady to have a good relationship.
He wants to be the door between everybody so he can control the amount of information everybody has.
This is an abusive relationship.
Yeah, he's a manipulative guy.
He's closing you off from your loved ones.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he's trying to do.
And we learn a lot of lessons about our relationships with people in P.S. I Hate This Movie, everyone.
You can't help it. We try not to, but it happens anyway.
Life happens. Okay, so anyway, She's like, why are you doing this day today with me, Bill? Since when do you care about homeless people? Her leg and her slip show. He catches a peek at her leg. It's so funny. So he's supposed to act like he's Bill Mitchell. And he's like, so if he's Bill Mitchell, this is my wife. And I can absolutely stare at this lady's legs. But he's still so respectful, Kevin Kline. He's like, yeah.
He sneaks a peek. He's like, oh, yeah.
I need to respect.
You hate me. That's right.
Yeah. I need to respect her privacy as an adult woman and a married woman. So he's like, anyway, Dave sees one kid off playing by himself with the train.
It's a homeless shelter that's mostly children. And he's like,
so sad.
They're all kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, kids can be homeless too, Bill.
Yeah. Kids are homeless too, Bill. I was like, well, yeah, clearly.
Yeah. And I was like, you'd think Dave would know that. But I guess he doesn't know like what meetings the president or the first lady goes to. Yeah. So he's like, oh, God, we're going to go see kids. Yeah.
Runs a fucking temp agency. Yeah. What does he know about homeless children?
So he is talking to this kid playing a train.
Mm-hmm. The kid's
doing
like,
magic tricks.
Yeah, the kid's like, all the kids are doing this specific activity, and this kid's all by himself. And he's like, what's going on there, champ? And he's talking to him, and he tells her, this is the big moment, though. This is where Sigourney Weaver starts to like him, because all the reporters are right now up on top of him taking pictures with
sitting
the kid.
On the floor.
And she's like, oh, look at him being a ham. Yeah. And then he goes to the reporters. He goes, hey, guys, not right now, okay? Okay, thanks. Yeah. And they all
not right now.
Go away. This is a private moment between me and this young man, basically. And then Sigourney Weaver's like, all like, yeah.
Something
look at
happened. Bill had He's a stroke changing. And something's up.
Yeah.
With
not
him.
That's not my husband.
Yeah.
My husband's a dick.
So, Langella is, this is my other favorite part. Dave is showing pictures. He's got like a scrapbook of his time as a president so far.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he has like a scrapbook.
Newspaper covers and magazine articles.
He's showing Ving Rhames like pictures. And he's like, look at you. He's like, here, there's you right here. You're on the front page.
Yeah.
Like, he's like very excited.
He's showing him. See, look, you're right here next to me.
And then he's like, yeah, but you know, and so he tells him to try a sweater. And he's like, well, I can't wear a sweater because it makes my neck look like thicker than it, like whatever. And he's like, well, what about like a sweater vest? You could wear it with a tie. And he's like, do you think I would look good in a sweater vest?
Do you think I would look good in a sweater vest?
And it like, was such a fucking hilarious moment. But he's like, yeah, like try a sweater vest.
Yeah, and we never see him in a sweater vest.
That's what pissed me off.
How the fuck is that? Yeah.
When he's working at the, spoiler
Boom.
Alert, when he's working
sweater
at
vest.
For fucking Dave later
How does
on
he
in
not-
life, where's the sweater vest?
How does he not have a sweater vest on? He popped up, saw his face, looked at him like, what the fuck?
Where's the sweater vest?
I was pissed.
With his new look.
No, he was that was a horseshit part of the movie. I was very upset about that. Sorry, continue.
Kevin Kline, I only have one complaint.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Sweater vest.
Okay. Langella is signing things for the president.
# Ving Rhames needs a sweater vest. That's what that
get
is.
Get him a sweater vest.
We all need to get him a sweater vest.
Let's just send him one. Let's just do that.
Everyone suggest to Ving Rhames on whatever social media he's on that he really should be wearing sweater vests.
#
Everybody.
Suggest the sweater vest.
Everybody just find Ving Rhames and tell him.
Sweater vest.
I'm just telling you, Ving, sweater vest. You could wear it with a tie.
You can wear it with a tie, and I think you would look good in a sweater vest.
Fuck everybody talking to me about a goddamn sweater vest for.
He probably would remember that. Okay, Sigourney Weaver is big mad, and she yells at Dave when he's in the shower, because apparently his administration vetoed the homeless children thing, so she's like, how could you do that? You did that whole thing, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what, that kid being performative, and then you just fucking vetoed all that shit, and he's like, wait, what?
He did sing a funny song, though, when he was in the show.
Hail to the chief, and the chief is who we hail to.
Yeah, and then he says, he's got the power. That's why he's in the shower.
Yeah, because it's Kevin Kline.
It's Kevin Kline, so it's funny.
They were probably like,
just sing some
just
shit.
Sing.
Yeah,
and
sing some
like,
shit, dude.
Okay.
Sure. Whatever you want, but not like the Beatles or anything, because we still have to pay for that. He's like, how about this?
Dave talks to, he calls for Langella and Kevin Dunn.
This is after he shows off his Kevin Kline to Sigourney Weaver, right? Where he shows her his Kline here.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I wish that you would turn around. And so he's like, and then it's funny because his eyes, he does it so perfect. His eyes look like, okay, she's going to see my penis and she's going to know.
Yeah, she's going to know the difference at some point. Hopefully we're very identical.
And then also like, this is the first time that she's seeing my penis, And she doesn't know that.
But yeah, he has to act casual about it. Like, well, it's just my wife seeing my dick as normal, rather than this is a strange woman who burst into my bathroom and would like to see my penis now. Not only a strange woman, the First Lady of the United States would like to see your penis.
And she's very angry.
As a surprise. By the way, she's mad at you as well.
By the way, she's mad at you.
Good Lord. Between that and the cold of being out of the shower, the thing would retreat into his body like nobody's fucking business.
Yeah. So anyway, so he calls a meeting with Langella and Kevin Dunn, and he's like, listen.
Yeah, he's got...
I just had my schlong out for the First Lady, and she's mad at me because apparently I did this and I have no idea. So Langella tells him, well, unless you can find somewhere to cut, you know, $650 million in the budget, then we can't.
You gotta cut your damn homeless shelters.
Yeah, so you gotta cut the homeless shelters. Like, sorry, them's the cards. And so what does Dave do? What does he do? He calls his good friend Charles Grodin because he's like, listen, I would always call Charles Grodin.
Who's like an accountant who hires his temp workers. Yeah. He's not like a powerful guy.
Yeah, so Charles Grodin goes to the Oval Office to help cut the budget for $650 million. They get some, you know...
Yeah, some ridiculous cuts. Why are we paying defense contractors on late jobs? We should put that in even a savings account. Will yield us this much interest. And then he starts doing math on paper, and we're like, "What's happening here?"
Yeah, because he's having a cabinet meeting. And again, if you thought that this was like, okay, well, we just have this guy as a stand-in, and let's give him the most exposure.
Oh,
Kevin Dunn fucking hires camera people to be there because it's the 100th cabinet meeting.
So,
and every normal person would be like, fuck, it's the 100th cabinet meeting. And usually we make a big deal out of that. But we have this guy who's not really the president. And it's going to expose our fucking lie.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in jail forever.
Nope.
But instead he's like, I hired cameras. Isn't that cute?
Isn't it great?
So anyway.
I let the press in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Dave is really taking some liberties here. He's like, listen, I crunched some numbers with Charles Grodin over some bratwurst, and here's what we came up with.
Pretty much it, yeah. That's exactly what happened. And now...
We had some bratwurst and mustard, and we just, you know, went to town and crunched these books.
This is where Kevin Kline starts to exert his power a little bit over Nixon here, over Langella, because he tries to stop Kevin Kline several times, but with all the cameras in the cabinet there, as far as they're concerned, Kevin Kline's the president. So, I mean, he just turns to him and he goes, what now?
Yes.
And the guy's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
He's in control. And it's in public, there's nothing you can say about it.
Yep.
You tell the president, stop doing that. He's like, fuck you. Yeah.
I did love Charles Grodin's line of, who does these books? If I ran my business this way, I'd be out of business.
Yeah, who runs these books? That was like a very old-timey political budget. Look at this.
Like that Patton Oswalt, the wackity schmackity.
Yeah. You got it right. Like you can run the government the same as you run a budget at your kitchen table. It's a little different.
So he says, like, you know, money management is halfway to our goal. And then he starts ripping everybody apart. And he's like, no, so you're paying these people on time, but they're not giving us money. Like, so he's.
Yeah.
So when people say that they're tired of politicians and they're tired of the same people and whatever, what they actually want is they want Kevin Kline as Dave.
Yeah.
They want him because he's taking an interest, but he has a kind of understanding of government.
Yeah.
And he knows how everything should be, and he's going to hold people accountable, and he's going to say, well, if they're not paying us, why are we doing that for them? Like, you know, so he's going to come in and be like a third party, like, huh.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's what people want.
Then he forces the Commerce Secretary to cut a program that I thought was a good program. It was a program this is getting deep here, but we're in the weeds. But it was a $47 million to have an ad campaign for people to have confidence in their American cars that they're driving. And he's like, so we're going to pay $47 million for people to be happier about cars they already own. And the guy's like, and he's like, no, we don't need that. And it's like, kind of you do, because that makes them maybe buy an American car again the next time, which that's how people have jobs in America. So if the government wants to spend money to keep the auto factories going well and people having shitloads of jobs, that might be money well spent. You know what I mean? Like, maybe take that from somewhere else, is
and
what
also,
I'm saying. People could lose jobs over that. Like, so maybe not that one.
I think that maybe
bad cut.
I think that maybe Kevin Kline has a little bit of the what John Hamm has in 30 Rock, where he just, you know, you can't put orange Gatorade on salmon. And he's like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Yeah,
who told you? The hot lady from the Food Network.
Yeah, blindly.
What did she do? No, she jumped over a couple of escalators to tell me. Like, and then she covers up his face and she orders something off the menu. And the waitress is like, let me tell you something. If you order something off the menu again, I'm going to break your glasses or whatever. And he's like, what was that about? Why didn't she call you sweetheart? Where's the complimentary appetizers? And she's like, this is how normal people live. So anyway, if you're Kevin Kline, maybe you just like say stuff like that. And then people are like, wow, he's so handsome and he's so nice. Look at him.
He's just a nice guy.
Okay.
Hope he didn't kill anybody.
Langello, everybody's very, very excited about their meeting. They're all, you know, shaking the president's hand on the way out.
They were able to
get $656 million that they needed just by putting their heads together, really.
A couple hours in a room.
But you know what? We could probably solve a lot of problems if Kevin Kline was in the room.
I feel like we should give him a shot at some things.
We haven't tried it yet.
That's the other thing. It hasn't failed.
Yeah.
We've tried a lot of things that have failed in this world. Letting Kevin Kline make most of our decisions for us.
I'm just talking about him being in the room as like a muse. He doesn't have to do anything. He can sit over there and do a crossword puzzle.
That's fair, but I'd like him to have some power. Can he have the final
but
say?
But he has power. Yeah, though. But I mean, like, he's sitting there playing a crossword puzzle. Like, he's
okay.
Doing,
he's just, he's in
he
waiting.
Has, he has the most power.
Holding pattern.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Holding pattern power.
Gotcha.
That's why he's in the shower.
That's right.
Okay. So Langello is very upset with Dave because they found the $650 million. And Kevin Dunn's like, well, I mean, you did tell him that if he found it, that, you know, he could have the homeless program. So you did tell him that.
Yeah.
And then so he, you know, Kevin Dunn is kind of taking a side here. He's like, well,
can't really yell at him for doing
I'll tell on both of us and we'll both go to jail if you're gonna, you know.
Yeah, if you're gonna try to cock block this,
like just to let you know, I'm gonna turn us in.
Yeah, because all of this, very illegal.
Yeah,
president's
super
in a coma in the basement.
Yeah.
They sent the vice president to Africa for a few weeks to do a goodwill tour.
Yeah, while
to
they
keep him out of their hair.
Find illegal stuff that he did.
Yeah,
and whatever.
So that way they can push him out.
Yeah, so.
Who's Ben Kingsley, by the way? A bunch of great actors have good.
So underutilized in this movie.
Him and Ving Rhames both.
Dave says goodbye to Charles Grodin. Goodbye. Thank you for all of your accounting help. I hope you enjoyed the bratwurst.
Goodbye, Charles Grodin.
Mr. Charles Gordon.
Grodin.
Why did I say Gordon?
I don't know. You can just go through it and I'll sing the score of Charles Grodin. He's a going because he's Grodin.
Charlie Grodin.
He's getting like a sitcom song.
And then
song.
He's like, maybe next time we'll go to Camp David. Like, ba-dum-ts. Sigourney Weaver heard that the president saved the homeless children thing that she was just mad at him for. And so she tells him, she goes up to him and she's like, hi, I just wanted to talk to you. Like, you know, that homeless thing kind of reminded me of that thing that you did in the state legislature. And Dave's like, yeah, that reminds me of it, too.
yeah, me too.
Yeah, and she's like, well, you were never in the state legislature, so hello, I'm Ellen Mitchell. Who are you? She says, I don't see him, and I don't know him. I would just kind of like to know where my husband is.
Fair.
Yeah. So Dave's a good guy, so he takes her with Ving Rhames, who, again, you know, Ving Rhames is...
he's a mensch here. He's a mensch.
He's helping out. And he's like, I could get in a lot of trouble for doing this. So he takes... Which I don't think that you...
If the first lady wants to go somewhere,
I mean.
She's fucking going somewhere.
To go see her husband. Like,
yeah,
let
I mean,
me know what's going on with my husband, please.
We can do clothesline her if she wants to go through.
So
it's her house.
They take her into the basement, into this really weird, like, hospital... thing.
Yeah, it's like where they keep aliens or some shit.
In Stranger Things where Hopper.
Yes, exactly. It's where they keep the Demogorgons and where they keep the passageway to the under
and
under,
the front desk
down.
Lady sees her and she's like, like a Demogorgon is walking in the door right now.
You can't go in there.
You can't go in there, ma'am.
But like I said, they don't tackle her. She's the first lady. She walks in.
So they take her in there. She sees that he's in a coma and he's hooked up to a machine, and that she's like, oh, this is not good. And they're like, yeah, it's pretty bad. So it's not looking good. They're thinking that he's gonna be a vegetable and then he's gonna die. So that's kind of the
vegetable followed by death is the prognosis here. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a veggie death, probably about a 6 month overall. We're not sure how much of that's gonna be vegetable, how much death, but veggie death in the 6 month range. Good.
Yep. So Sigourney Weaver starts to pack her things and she says she's going to go home. She says she's not the first lady anymore. And I was like, wouldn't she be like, oh, fucking awesome, I can use you to get away from Langella?
Yeah. But she's
cool. But instead, she's like, you know what?
She's done with the whole thing.
My husband's dead. Fuck those homeless children. I'm not going to even do this anymore. Like, you know, whatever. I would be like, cool, let's do some shit. But anyway, so she...
It takes a ride in a Ford Tempo to make her realize that.
Yeah, she says that, you know, you could put up with, you know, the other women and you could have no life and no kids and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
if you want to be president, it's a kind of a...
But now, a lifelong
politician that runs for office. It's a busy job.
I think that the life and the job of the first lady is probably a lonely one.
I would think so.
You can't even like really hang out with your husband that much.
Nope.
And then you have all these people who are like, ma'am, can I get you this? Can I get you this? Don't do that. Don't touch that.
There's
That's okay. I'll get it for you.
Hanging around all the time.
Yeah. And I think that I would just be like, leave me alone.
It would be very hard if you wanted to be left alone. I don't think, I think it's difficult to be left alone.
I would be the worst first lady.
Yeah. You'd be very, very not cooperative.
Do you guys need anything? I made you guys a roast while you were sleeping. They'd be like, ma'am, stop doing things for us.
Stop cooking. Please.
God damn it.
Please stop cooking everything.
So anyway, they escaped out this weird back entrance that I guess...
He said LBJ used it all the time.
Yeah. Police pulled them over when they were driving. Was it a Ford Tempo or was it a Ford Escort?
It was a Tempo.
It was a Ford.
It was a fucking Tempo.
And so he gets pulled over.
Probably like an 87.
To the cop, he is pitching them as he's like, oh, no, we're not the president and the first lady. We're actually impersonators. And, you know, we have this whole act. And he starts to
get out of the car and the cops almost shit. They're like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and they're
so
like, no.
No,
hey,
yeah.
Not us.
Also, I think that he wanted to kind of like save Sigourney Weaver as well. Like, you know, that he took her, he's taking responsibility. Like, I helped you.
Would have been a lot of attention if they found out she was hanging out on the street.
So he's being a classy guy. He understands, like, how bad this could be. So he's kind of like, hey, we're impersonators and we do this thing. And he's pitching the Club Med thing. And Sigourney Weaver goes for it. She's, like, singing the song with him. They're singing Tomorrow and whatever. And so she doesn't end up getting, he doesn't end up getting the ticket. And the cop says to him, he's like, listen, you're very good. She needs a lot of work.
She needs a lot of work. Yeah. Which, obviously the.
They go to a store and then he makes her another sandwich. So he's just like making everybody sandwiches, Dave.
That's his thing. I'm going to get you a job. I'm going to make you a sandwich. What's better than a job and a sandwich?
Yeah.
Let me ask you that.
And I was going to say, like, what kind of a friend do you want? Do you want a guy that makes sure that you always have a sandwich? And
I want a guy.
Like, he's proud of the sandwich that he made and he wants to give it to you. He's like, I know it'll make you feel better.
I want a guy slinging jobs and sandwiches. That's what I want as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? Job? Sandwich? What do you got? That's everything you could want.
So she asks him kind of like, you know, what do you do that when you're not president? And he says he runs a temp agency. She says, you find people jobs? And then she's like, it's just more than most people do around here. And then for the rest of the movie, it is just full of introspective moments.
This is when the movie turns from a comedy into this.
Just self-reflection.
Self-reflection. What's good? What's bad? All mankind and people.
Introspective.
We're going to go beyond. Yeah, we're going to go beyond politics into this realm of like what's good for mankind and people and. Everyone's
gonna get real philosophical.
Everyone's gonna put politics aside for a minute, and it's like, that doesn't work, unfortunately.
But no,
good try, Kevin Kline. We wish it could be like that.
Yeah. So she asked him if he was married, and he said he married once, but it didn't take.
Didn't take, man. Didn't stick.
Didn't take. And then he said that he enjoyed saving the shelter. He enjoyed helping people that he's never met before. And Sigourney Weaver just does not give a fuck about her dying husband. She's just like, cool.
Off the table at this point. Yeah. Fuck him.
That's fine. He's dead. At least I have the understudy here.
Yeah. We're going to go back and pretend you're the president.
And
let's get it on.
This has been a weird day, okay, and like a weird couple of hours, because I think it would now start to hit me, oh no, I saw your penis, and I'm really sorry. I made you turn around. Like, that was so rude. Like, oh my God.
Now that I know you're a stranger.
Yeah, now that I know that you have been a stranger, and I saw your penis, I'm very sorry.
But she said she didn't know it wasn't him in the shower, so apparently that he has an identical presidential penis.
Oh.
Yeah, because he said, when did you know it was not me? And she said... On the way when you looked at my leg, because he Bill stopped looking at me years ago, and
and he said I was thinking it was probably the shower,
and she said no. So apparently his dick is the same too. He's identical to this guy.
I thought that was kind of like her trying to like rib him a little bit there.
Rib him how? He has the same dick.
No, I think that she was like saying like I didn't notice anything that spectacular.
Oh, well, not that spectacular, but just different than the other guy. That's what he was saying. Like, I figured you'd notice our dicks were different. That's something that I can't get a haircut and make it look more like him in the dick department. It's, you know, dicks are, I don't know. They had similar dicks, apparently. So
what
that's
a great
good.
Sentence you just said.
It's true.
You can't get a haircut and look better in the dick department.
Look different. You can't be like, oh, we'll change the whole dick's identity with a haircut and we'll spruce this up a little bit. It just doesn't work like that. You can't put glasses on it.
Oh, no.
You can't do any of that.
No, no, no.
It's not going to work.
No.
See, it's a different dick. You could do that with a person and disguise them. Put a hat on it. It's not the same.
So they pull back up in the Ford Tempo or whatever, and the security people look so embarrassed that they didn't know that it was the president and the first lady. And he's like, oh, it's okay. We were just out getting some fresh air. And I'm like, yeah. No.
Yeah.
They didn't even let Jerry Seinfeld pick up Obama and take him off the property. They were like, no, sorry, you can't do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's...
We'll just take the Ford. We'll take this car and just go drive around.
Well, they went out and ate cheeseburgers, like, sitting in a parking lot somewhere.
I know.
It's like, they're going to get fucking jacked or something. You can't have them sitting out
the
there.
The security people would absolutely have already been buzzed that the president and the first lady are missing and they're not in the White House.
One would assume.
Anyway, so they both decided to go back to the White House after both of them were having an attack of conscience. Like, this is super illegal. They're like, let's just, you know, all in. The next morning, we're back at the White House. Dave has asked for a press conference. Langella is very upset about this. Dave ends up firing him and telling him that he wants his resignation on his desk. Langella is very upset about the whole ordeal. And it looks like the Weaves is teaming up with Dave here, and she seems pretty excited about this.
She's they have a plan. There's definitely a plan in motion.
Yep.
And that plan is
so.
Now what's his name? Now Nixon accuses Bill Mitchell of all these wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Which he was wrong for doing.
Yes.
So anyway, Dave and his press conference asks that Langella submit a letter of resignation. And he said that the two of them see the country differently. And then he says, from today, I'm going to make it the responsibility of this government to find a job for every American who wants one. Kevin Dunn is kind of rolling his eyes about this. But he's like almost like, oh, Jesus, like, you know,
yeah.
What a claim. Dave says, you don't really know how much you can do until you stand up and decide to try.
This is when it gets real.
Kevin Dunn looks very inspired by this sentiment, which is like, I think that he would be like, oh my God, no.
Yes.
All the news people, the political analysts are saying that this is what modern leadership looks like. You make a bold goal and then don't tell anybody how you're going to do it. Larry King is talking to somebody about a conspiracy theory. They're floating the idea that Dave is not President Bill Mitchell. And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. He's like, no, seriously, pull up the pictures.
Yeah, it's Oliver Stone on there, Mr. conspiracy theory.
Sigourney Weaver is singing Tomorrow in Bed. You know, she's in love now. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be. It's Kevin Klein.
Well, you know.
She fell in love with him once. Here's the vice president, Ben Kingsley. He comes bearing gifts from Africa. And he's like, I don't know what your problem is and why you hate me, because the newspaper was like, we found this in the vice president's office. And Dave says, like, no, girl, I don't hate you. And then they become friends. And then
he's like,
let me
fix this shit.
He's like, I just wanted to let you know, like, I don't hate you. We're friends. I made that ratchety ass Bob Alexander resign. And he's like, oh, my God, shit. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And then he's like, OK, cool. You're cool. So I'll be cool.
I want to see that conversation between Kevin Klein and Ben Kingsley. That's the one I want to see exactly like that.
Like, just word like for
you
word,
said, word for word, the way you said it,
it
I want to hear them go back and forth.
Oh my God, girl, I don't hate you.
Especially, and I want to see Ben Kingsley's, you know, solemn reaction to that. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That's acting.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it. So anyway, Langella is having a press conference and saying that the president did all this illegal stuff. And turns out he actually did. I didn't write down what he did.
It was campaign finance and stuff that presidents do on a daily basis, basically, that's, you know, illegal, but everybody does.
Yeah.
Campaign finance stuff and, like, you know, what the fuck else? Like, influencing lawmakers for being influenced by lobbyists, which is, I mean, it was, Not any, like, if you, those charges have been hurled at every president for 25 years, all those charges, and they're like, I don't know, whatever, they shrug it off, and nobody cares anyway, so it's fucking ridiculous.
President Dave goes to a dinner with, like, the First Liberty thing, and they were like, hey, listen, can you wait on the jobs thing for a couple of months? I know you just had this idea a couple of days ago, but, like, and they're trying to explain to him, like, yeah, cool, like, we're happy to get that done, we just want to get this thing done as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, because I can't do that. And they were like, well, you know, we're talking about obstructing federal regulators and violating election laws, and they're talking about impeachment. So poor Dave, he's just an understudy and he's getting impeached. They were like, hey, we just need you for the night. And then
now he's
worst case
be a
scenario. But he's making the best of it.
He's trying.
You're like, OK, cool. Like, I'm just going to pick up a couple of extra bucks. I might have a solid gig here where I'm always the body double for the president. And now you're the president and you're getting impeached.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jay Leno made a solid joke about presidents usually serving a 4-year term, saying that he might be serving 15 to 20.
Said about Nixon and somebody else. Yep. I'm sure he stole it from
very
like
solid joke,
Dick
Jay
Cabot
Leno
or something. Yeah, he's a real gem.
Then
that Leno.
Dave and the vice president are having a conversation. It's always so funny because Ben Kingsley just looks like he should have that very like crisp in English accent.
Yeah.
And then when he's speaking without it, you're like, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, he's just got to put on American.
But they're talking about like how you got started. Do you ever think back to how you got started? And Ben Kingsley says that he was a shoe salesman, and his wife said, why don't you run for office? So he ran for office and he got councilman, and his wife was his campaign manager. And more introspective moments. Dave is having a meeting with both houses of Congress, and this is an unusual address because neither of them know what he's going to say.
Yeah, he's just going to come
They're
out.
They're like,
and
this is amazing. We don't even know what he's going to talk about.
he ends up.
Enters with the briefcase. I didn't see anybody sleeping in Congress, so that's good. It's a good sign.
It's helpful. Normally, presidents don't come in with a briefcase. That's not normal.
Dave is being straight up honest, and he's talking about the elephant in the room. He's like, yes, I have been accused of these charges, and each one of these charges is absolutely true. I take full responsibility for every one of my illegal actions. And he pulls out a bunch of different stacks of paper, which are written proof of receipts and personal directives where Bob Alexander has
planned the whole thing.
He's been involved in all the instances and helped plan them. He apologizes for, you know, shitting on Ben Kingsley's reputation and dirtying up their image, and he apologizes and shakes the guy's hand. And
says he had nothing to do with it. He's a good man.
Yep, he's a good man. He's a good guy, and he's apologizing, and he's even saying that Langella did that to Ben Kingsley. And he says, I forgot I was hired to do a job for you, and there are certain things that you should expect of your president. I ought to care about you more than I care about me. I ought to care about what's right than what's more what's popular. And if I'm not, then maybe I shouldn't be here in the first place. Very dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
He falls to the floor.
Grabs his forehead.
Keeps grabbing his forehead, falls to the floor. And here we go, the old switcheroo.
The old strokeroo here.
The old strokeroo. The 1-2.
1-2. Strokeroo.
Well, yeah, we're doing the 1-2 strokeroo. He could be SAG eligible for that performance, Dave. That was a great stroke. Very dramatic. So what they're doing is that they know that since the president has been accused of all of this stuff and he's going to get impeached anyway, the only way to save face here is to just go with plan A, which is the president had a stroke and he's probably not going to make it.
Rush him to the hospital.
So they rush him to the hospital, and then they get Dave out of there just in time. They say,
they cut to them in the front seat. Dave and Ving Rhames in the front seat. Dave's in a medic's uniform.
And Ving Rhames says that he's going to take a, I would take a bullet for you. Oh my God, they're true love, and I want this buddy comedy.
That's the one.
Right now, so now we're back to the beginning where the president is in a coma and he's not going to make it and they're going to swear in the vice president. The Weaves rocks up to the hospital to go check on Bill, but she's like looking out at Dave and these people are like, ma'am, like your husband just had a stroke and he's in the hospital. Like,
he shouldn't be looking at that medic who's walking into the night.
That's... He works for the ambulance, ma'am. Like he's going to be okay.
Fine. Someone may be hurt over yonder, so let him go.
So anyway, Bill, after 4 months, he was in a coma for 4 months. He died. And then Ben Kingsley is sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. Langella is found guilty as fuck, and he goes to jail, apparently. And then the end of the movie is Dave running for public office. He's going to be the councilman in the 6th District. Here comes the Weaves in a baseball hat and jeans, and she
weird outfit
in.
For the Weaves. I guess she's trying to look like kind of incognito, but...
She walks in, and you could definitely see that that is the First Lady.
Yeah, it's Sigourney Weaver.
Like, you've seen her on TV before.
It's goddamn Sigourney Weaver. Her face is excessively recognizable. If you've seen it once, you'll remember Sigourney Weaver.
She's prettier than you.
She's just got like a... She's a striking figure. She's a striking person. You'd recognize her face.
Yeah.
You know, whether you think she's attractive or not is beside the point. It's like if you saw 80s Brigitte Nielsen, you'd never fucking forget it if you saw her, because very distinctive face.
So she walks in and she sees Dave and he's like, oh my God, I saw you on TV at the funeral. You look great. Anyway, sorry about your dead husband. Like,
sorry about
you
that.
Looked great. Anyway, so Charles Grodin is staring at his friend like, oh my God, are you in love with the First Lady? And then they start making out with the blinds open, obviously, because it needs to be funny. And then Ving Rhames works for Dave.
He looks out, closes the blinds.
Yep.
And then Ving Rhames is standing there guarding it because he's apparently assigned to the Weaves.
And he would take a bullet for... No, he's working for Dave because he has a congressman councilman, whatever.
Okay, I figured if he was still in the Secret Service, she'd still have protection. So
came with him. Well, I don't know. Maybe he was there, he had a button that said...
Yeah, I figured he just put one on because he was enthusiastic.
It said Dave.
No sweater vest, though.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Which I was disappointed about.
But he was there before Sigourney Weaver got there.
Oh, was it? So I didn't see him in the room.
He just like popped up.
Okay, I didn't see him.
Because he was whatever. So anyway, that's fucking it.
That's it. That's Dave. Dave. Yeah. So
that's fucking Dave.
It's it. Kevin Klein. Kevin Klein is wonderful, and it's one of the odder stories we've ever done. One of the more
I think I just
ridiculous ones. What?
We can call it the Heigl Weaver.
The Heigl Weaver. Yeah, well, we'll see if the Weaves earns
it. We're not going to force it.
We're going to see if the Weaves her way into this.
I agree.
That's all there is to it.
Okay, so let's just go to the Heigl Meter.
To the Heigl Meter!
The Heigl Meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we measure, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl
to
5 Heigls.
You
measure and rate.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very thorough process. Sometimes there's a formula.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen.
Yeah, that 5 bad.
1 Heigl, not that bad.
Yeah.
I think I deserve to go first this
please
week.
Please do, please.
I don't know why I deserve to, but I just
I went
do.
Last week, that's why I think.
Okay. I just want to just deserve it.
Okay, I do deserve it. You know what? You do deserve this.
Thank you for letting me have this.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to give it zero Heigels.
Zero, huh?
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I am going to be a proud member of the Kevin Klein fan club, unless he's a sex pervert.
I don't think he is. I mean...
But it was Ving Rhames. Now I'm definitely giving it zero Heigels because now we have the show Tricky Dick out of it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
The Dick Nixon impersonator prank show.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny. No, I'm serious. I gave it zero Heigels. I thought it was really good. And thank you for suggesting it.
And no problem. I thought it was.
I wanted to watch the American.
Electorally.
I wanted to watch proper. The American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening. But this one was better.
Sure, that wasn't Sigourney Weaver also? No, it wasn't Annette Bening, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. All right. Well, I guess it's my
turn.
Okay,
so you go, yeah.
I'm going to give it one Heigel, which means I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. I don't give it zero just because, I don't know, man, the plot is so ridiculous that it's really hard to make it. You can't give it a perfect rating when it's that asinine of a plot, considering, and also they got some stuff wrong. You can't.
Oh.
Shit is allotted budget. You can't just move shit from one thing to another in a budget. Like, there's a general budget, but then everything is, there's a lot of bureaucracy that goes on and red tape, and things have to be, you're the president, you have your budget, but Congress actually allots the money. Yeah. There's a lot of different layers of the whole deal there that I don't think they went thoroughly enough into and educated people. So I'm going to go one Heigel.
Oh.
Thank you, Kevin Klein, for making this less painful.
Yeah, thank
than it
you,
could have been.
Kevin Klein.
Yes.
Thank you.
So there you go.
All that you are and all that you do, because, you know.
One and zero. Pretty damn
one
good.
One and zero. We love you so much. And speaking of we love you so much, I wanted to find this.
Yeah.
One of our folks here, Jeff and his wife, welcomed a new broad into their family.
Hey, look at you.
Congratulations on having a baby.
Congrats.
Well done. He bought her an I'm a Broad onesie.
That's adorable as shit.
Which I think that's wonderful.
It
so anyways,
is.
Congratulations, new parents.
Yay.
On your new broad. I'm very excited for you. So here's some other broads.
Please.
Our international pyramid of ass nailers.
Yeah.
Angela, Katrikas?
Okay, I'll believe
Stephanie
you.
Stephanie Durham, Emma Butler, Allison Stanton, Mitchell Fisher. Ooh, what a fun name. Tiffany Savage, Bree Black, and Olivia Herman. Bree Black has been so excited to listen to our show because she listens to Small Town Murder and Crime and Sports.
Very nice.
And
thank you.
She is enjoying getting to know so much more about you.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
me too, though.
I don't like people knowing anything about me, but otherwise, thank you for listening, though.
Wow.
I'll hold back as much as I can.
Yeah.
The little bits will.
Oh, and also Ashley Vio Duty.
Hey,
I forgot her last week.
Cool.
I'm sorry. But
oh,
so
no.
Here, now I'm going to give you like. I don't even know. Maybe I'll write you a song.
We'll see.
I can't.
We still have to write Tricky Dick, so we got a lot going on.
That's just going to come naturally.
It's got a lot going on right now.
That's
going
to come naturally. So anyway, thank you guys so much. This week on Patreon, we're going to be doing Make Your Own Rom-Com. That's on patreon.com/YouGotHeigeld, YouGotHeigeld. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/YouGotHeigeld, YouGotHeigeld. And then you can talk to me on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah H is funny, SARAHH is funny. And you can go harass me on there.
Yes, you can. And,
James,
if you wanted to find me, I'm at Jimmy P is funny, or just copy and paste my name, make it easier on yourself. So you don't have to try to spell it, or listen to Crime and Sports and Small Town Murder every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts. I don't know. Otherwise, I'm around.
Yeah. So,
thank you for
and otherwise,
hanging out with
us. Thank you guys so much. We're off next week.
Yes, we are.
So remember.
We'll be back. We'll be back with a terrible movie, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Let's punish ourselves.
No. We are going to punish ourselves.
Yeah, a really
James,
bad
we discussed
one.
This. We're going to do Twilight when we come
back.
Oh,
fuck. That's right. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
We're doing Twilight.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll pay for
we
the last 2 weeks.
We are doing Twilight. We are doing Twilight. We are doing Twilight because we really hate ourselves.
Oh, yes, we
go
do.
Go Heigel yourselves, everybody. Get ready for Twilight.
Heigel yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.